Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I've sung many times, "Fill my cup, Lord, fill it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Fill my cup, fill me up, and make me whole." Our times, so the scripture says, are in his hands. I could say hopefully, but you would not like me to say that. Because you are so indoctrinated with scripture and so influenced by what people tell you, that if you're not careful, you'll lose direction in your life. You won't know where you're going. You won't know what to do. And as a result, you don't understand. Now, this seems difficult, but bear with me. I'm sure you love the man of God who spoke so wonderfully of me. Thank you. I'm going to read you some scripture, and you know the scriptures, and see how you work with it. See what you see what you think. How you interpret, how you assimilate it in your spirit. St. John's Gospel, chapter 17. John 17. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all of mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and love them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Father, this word that has been spoken so long ago, may there be that which is according to thy will in the hearts of every one of us this morning, that you might fill our cup to overflowing and quench the thirst of our hearts. Amen. When he closed the book. To whom am I sent? This morning I'm here. Hello. Oh, how are you doing? Good. Fine. Okay. How are you? I'm good. What's happening? Well, whatever's happening. Your life is so busy as mine is too. The psalmist said we do spend our years as a tale that he's told. How are you doing? Have you heard about so-and-so? He's dead. Oh, really? What are the words that we hear today? This morning as I rehearse to you, that there is a thirst in my heart, and I believe it's in your heart too. And what is that thirst? It's the desire, most of all in my life, for his presence. For his presence. I just want him to be with me. Wherever I go, wherever I do, I want it to be okay. Often we wonder. Our lives can be full of things of which we are ashamed. Things which may be in secret that nobody knows about. You know, this morning, if that's where you are, it's wonderful to know that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. They don't sing that much these days, do they? I know that one. And what has it done for me, those words? Well, you see, when your mind processes words, and we're all processing words all the time these days, this world of media. This morning, in the presence of the King of Kings, you're not going to be interrupted by a text, are you? This morning, in the presence of the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, you're not going to be distracted by some schedule that's been prearranged, some event that's in your mind that perhaps is going to take up tomorrow. How can we bring our minds into a place whereby we can feed on his words? You see, he said, I have given them your words. I was no prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. I'm a Gentile anyway. I'm a Brit. I'm not a Jew. I don't have a Jewish name. I don't have a prayer shawl. I don't really have a trumpet that I can blow or anything. It's just me. And so when the Lord took hold of my life, which was a long time ago, there's no doubts about it, I didn't know what it was all about. But as a result of that touch that I so longed for, my life was changed. I don't know as I'm going to sing my message this morning, because I make no preparation for any message that I bring. It just sort of comes. But that wonderful chorus, he touched me. He touched me. And oh, the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. I made the remark last night when there was inquiries at the table. We went out for something to eat. And I said, the thing is, people want to touch the divine. We all do. We all do. And you know, we've got those today that we think are divine, but they're not. And as my dear brother said this morning, I'm not divine. Emily's not here, but I can assure you, she would assure you that I'm not divine. And yet, with respect, and to the contrary too, there are those that think I'm infallible. Well, I'm not, obviously. However, I do have a gift in my life. And I do represent someone, as John said, whose shoes latch it, I'm not worthy to unloose. And so this vocation, this life, this assignment, here you are this morning, and I've read to you words that were not spoken by Roger Teal or Clay Nash, or William Branham, or Benny Hinn, or John G. Lake, or who can we think of? Some preacher of renown, according to the translators, this passage records the words of Christ. And he's speaking to the Father because he has been here doing the Father's will and saying what he had to say. Now, if I rehearse some of these words, I know that you are familiar with them, and I mix the scriptures in with what I'm sharing so that you can thread it all together. Is it true that the scripture says that when Jesus spake, they said, "Never a man spake like this man"? Was it that he was speaking in a language that they didn't understand exactly? Well, perhaps there might have been someone from another country that didn't understand as we told he spoke Aramaic or Hebrew. I've used that example before of speaking in German, "Wollen Sie mit mir heute kommen?" And you don't know what that means unless you know German. I just said, "Do you want to come with me today?" But our understanding of words, what was it that he said that caused them to say, "Never a man spake like this man"? Was it because they didn't know what he was talking about? Or was it that it was significant, but because they were not aware of it and didn't know it, they couldn't, "Well, what's he talking about?" There is emphasis very much today on prophecy, revelation, predicting events, which are spoken by sincere people here, I'm sure, and me included. This book is a book of words. I spoke to Sister Dorothy last night and said, "Do you know what the word semantic means?" And she said, "Yes." "Do you know what the word semantic means?" "It's the study of words. It's knowing the meaning of words and how words are used." Well, today we have a lot of words going on through the media and in the church and what we read. Do you understand the words? Even as Christ ministered when he was in the streets and the highways and in the homes of different ones, he was using words. Very often it was very, very straightforward, using examples of daily life. The prophet had prophesied that he will speak in parables or giving examples of everyday issues and circumstances, and yet sometimes they didn't understand. And he remarked about it. He said, "You can hear me, but you don't know what I'm saying. You're not perceiving what I'm talking about, are you?" Now, this is not a subtle method on my part to insult you this morning, because we all can identify with our humanity. We all can see, hopefully, unless there is some unfortunate condition in your eyesight, but the fact is we can see. We see and we hear, but we don't always perceive or comprehend or know what it meant or know what it is saying. I'm starting now a little bit more to relate to what makes Roger Teal tick, if you know what I mean. Many, many years ago, it was when I was in Africa. It's got to be at least 40 years ago. Somebody said I would have a school of the prophets and I will teach them the prophetic law. Well, I didn't know what the prophetic law was, and I'm still working with the prophetic law as it is, simply because it's primarily the revelation of the words that God brings to us by impartation and revelation. You know, anybody can look at the Bible or go to college or go to school or go to a school of theology and study the scriptures from a theological standpoint, memorize it and learn it and know the history and all the parallels and the symbols and the meanings and the context and all of that. And to hear someone speak eloquently from the scriptures can be quite stimulating. In the early years, I would read Spurgeon quite a lot. And they called him the Prince of Preachers, whoever they were. But I tell you what, he certainly knew the scriptures. And the way he would present the scriptures was quite certainly remarkable. And it was obvious that he knew the scriptures. Did he know God? What? Did he know God? So you can't say that, can you, Rog? Well, yeah, it's a legitimate question. We've just read that the Savior says he knows those that belong to him. I've often used this illustration. It was a dear lady came to me and said, do you know when Jesus is coming back? I said, I don't, love. I said, but if you belong to him, when he comes, he'll come and get you. Well, that's it, isn't it? I have children, grandchildren. Where's the kids? If there's a problem, you know, where are they? What do I... He knows every one of us here this morning. And he knows whether we belong to him or not. Now, I believe that you belong to him, brother. And I believe that you do too, Sue. You say, why? Well, I know him a little, quite a bit. And I know about them, and they love me, and I love them, and they seem okay. But that's not good enough for me. It isn't that I want to know whether they know God. It's whether I know God or not. Because that's what it is. Oh my. Oh my. And so this morning, as I often relate more about what makes me tick, the only word I can use is this. It's the law of is. Is. I-S. Is. You know, you've heard people say it's what it is. Well, that's what it is. Yeah, it is. And I've learned that is so powerful. I've learned that is works. I've learned that is, when you use the methods of is, they work. I've done a little bit of computer programming, and as a theology, it's called OOP, object-oriented programming. And everything is an object, and it has its properties, and it has its methods. And so when you use the properties and the methods and the events, this is how you write the program, writing code in various languages. And not that we are objects, but in a sense we can look at ourselves as being objects. And every one of us here this morning, again, me included. What is Roger Teal? Well, I'm a product of what it is that I know. For all that I know is what I've learned and what I've seen and what I've experienced and what I've touched and what I've felt and, you know. And when I share my experience or what I know, that can stimulate you too if you want to do the same. Like talking about code. If I started talking code to you in a particular language, like whatever that language might be, C-sharp and F-sharp, whatever, and you didn't understand it, you say, wow, it sounds fun. Oh, man, that sounds intriguing, but I don't understand it. In the law of is, there is that which is within each and every one of us. A person. It is the Holy Spirit who resides within those who belong to him. You will have to learn and train yourself to hear his voice. You can hear his voice or hear what somebody else is telling you that they heard from the voice within them, a prophet, a prophecy. You, I, anyone, this lady that got up this morning. And so when she said what she said, you can say, oh, okay. Your head can say, okay. But what about the voice inside saying, okay? Now, bear with me here. This is not a suggestion that our sister spoke something out of her own persuasion. The essential thing is that the scriptures will be fulfilled. This passage that you've just read, if we consider that Jesus made these statements and he prays to the Father, and then he's leaving and he's gone. And just like the commission, going to all the world. And we read, didn't it? It said, those that you have given me, that believe in me, that you sent me, and have believed the word that I gave them, the words, they will take them same words, and they will go into the world, and they will tell others these words. Now, isn't that the gospel? Isn't that what we believe? We believe that. If you're called into the ministry like as I was, I believe that I've got to preach God's word and go into all the world and preach the word and preach the word. This morning you've come here and you've come to listen to Roger. Is he giving us God's words? Well, I read scripture to you, which is primarily as a result of the translators. But you notice when I said, see how you handle it. See what you think. See what you how you interpret what I read. Say, why would I say that? Once again, I always had a little bit of pepper with the salt. The thing is, there are all kinds of interpretations these days regarding the Bible. The Bible says, the Bible says, well, the Bible says, the Bible says. And you'd be surprised some of the antics that people get onto, and all they say, well, the Bible says. Well, I don't get it that it says that. Well, So when I'm talking about the scriptures being fulfilled, what are the scriptures saying? First John chapter 4. People like this passage. Sort of. Depends what camp you're in. Beloved, Roger. Beloved, Roger. I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. I love you, Lord. Roger. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. What? Well, where are they? Where are they? Show me them so that I'll know who they are, because I don't need to listen to them. Maybe I'll go on the internet and look up that site there. There's a big site that calls, a lot of people that are around today, false prophets. But we have the true prophets. We are the fellowship of prophets. I go to a school of prophets. I'm in the non-prophets. Did Spurgeon know God? Was Spurgeon speaking words from Scripture? Yes. Were people being converted? Yes. Were they being baptized? Yes. Were they full of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues and prophesying? No. Was that exercise that is functions through the human soul encouraged, promoted, preached? By what I read, no. So then, is this what Paul was talking about in Galatians, another gospel? Is this a lesser gospel? Is this a gospel that excludes the power of the Holy Ghost? Is this a gospel that speaks derogatory toward any manifestation of the Spirit? Yeah, but Spurgeon's gone. That was old England, Roger. That's not today. No, it's not. So I can't really go back that far. I can't go back into the 1800s. I wonder if it's around today. I wonder if there are any that speak in his name and represent his name and have buildings in his name and are full time in his name and have written books and studies and CDs and videos today. I'll leave you to answer that one. I'm not going to answer it. Say, why won't you tell us? Well, that's my secret. Because I've learned to navigate in this world. All of us are influenced directly and indirectly by evil spirits. It's taboo today. They don't talk much about it. Spirits are in, on, and around people. You, if you are born again and love the Lord and he's filled your cup, are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord is within you that will immediately recognize, if you learn to hear his voice, those that are not of the same Spirit. So what do you do? Well, if you can learn to navigate, you can avoid them. If you think you're all super powerful, you can live in the middle of them and keep rebuking them 24/7. Well, that'll wear you out. It's best to position yourself so that they miss when they fire their fiery dart. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And in these days of spiritual warfare, I absolutely endorse the intercessory prayer that we can pray and minister unto the Lord when we deal with conflict and situation and circumstance and whatever it may be. We can resist the devil. But these are days that are very different than what Spurgeon's days was, picking on him this morning. You okay? I believe he's in glory, without a doubt. He loved the Lord. But in these days, as the gift of God is in my life, and my study of the scriptures to relate to the convictions that I have in my heart, I have to identify, even with you this morning, what is it that I'm here to say and do? Am I come to give you the word of the Lord? You're getting it right now, for this is completely unrehearsed. But as I relate to what I see and what I'm hearing and what the Spirit is saying to me, I've had to make some adjustments. You're praying for your nation. I've considered maybe I'll have to go back to Britain, and maybe that's where I'll spend my last days. I don't know about leaving. We've been here over 34 years now. But I'm not an American citizen. I've still got the green card. I'm a resident alien. America is facing formidable challenges. I'm going to a conference in Katy, Texas, with some people that are certainly at times a little obscure, but they do love the Lord. The theme of the conference is the call of the warrior. Oh, my. Now, I must be careful, for the words that I have to share down there must not be rehearsed beforehand here, for my thoughts can really fly on this issue. So Roger must keep his mind on his work. A warrior is one who is engaged and experienced in warfare. And so this morning, are you engaged and experienced in warfare? Well, probably, possibly. I don't know how you fight the devil off, or what you do, or how you go about it, how much fasting you do, or whatever you think that you should do or you shouldn't do. But in the real world of is, we have lads right now that are in Afghanistan and Iraq. I really celebrated the 4th of July. That was the day that they kicked the Brits out. That was the day that every American that loved his country rallied around and got guns and knives and spears and anything they could get their hands on, and did everything within their power to kill every Brit in this country that breathed. That's a different kind of spiritual warfare, isn't it? You know what Jesus said? When he commissioned the disciples, he said, have you got a shirt? Yeah. Sell it. Buy a sword. Have you got your sword with you this morning? I have. Oh, that's the sword of the Spirit. No, a sword's a sword. There's some in the wall there. That's a sword. Sir, what? Are you prepared for events that are coming to this country? This country that's cocked a snook against Almighty God. The same-sex marriage. The abortion was the issue at one time. What's happening? What has happened? What happened? Where are the prophets that will cry out? Where are those that would declare the word of the Lord? Where are those that will stand in the gap for the US of A? Your call and your charge is your business. But I guarantee that though you have time, that time is orchestrated by the sovereign will and purpose of God. When the Savior was speaking to the Father, he spoke of Judas, the son of perdition, who went the way that he was to go, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. I am answerable to God according to his revealed will, in accordance that the scriptures will be fulfilled. I chose to believe this morning that this message is a commission, especially to the man of God that's here, for the future of this ministry and the desire that you have, even in taking the different states and Arkansas and Tennessee and whatever. Because you can't take on the world. You don't have time. You don't have the resources. God knows what he's doing. He uses individuals in various places to establish his will and his purpose. I read something on the table back there. And there are various words that have been printed about a coming together and an assignment and a desire to have a common core of understanding of the task and the vision and the purpose, that there might be a strength in unity. Didn't Jesus pray that we be one? Unity. You see, this morning, whatever your endeavor is to do something for God, I salute it, if you know what I mean. God bless you. Wonderful, wonderful. But unless it conforms to John 17, it'll be wood, hay, and stubble. So in this alignment of bringing our thoughts into alignment with the Spirit of God, what is the Lord saying to us this morning? My heart is rather torn between the fact that there is a lack of hearing the word of the Lord. Now, Amos remarked about that, and I don't use that passage for justification or endorsement. For I'm ceased from fighting. I think it was Geronimo that said that. He got tired of fighting. I'm not going to fight with you. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to believe, whatever you think, wherever you want to go, is that so? Maybe again it's not because I've relaxed my position, for I have not, no sir. I still maintain quite a low profile, and though I can be places, people don't know I'm always there. My friend Rodney R. Brown is right now this week in Washington, D.C., holding outreach street meetings, and his vision to awaken America is very real, very real. Some of the speakers at the meeting are quite amiable, quite adept, and have ability to speak with authority. General Borkin, fine man, 3-star general, retired, of course. He was at Black Hawk Down. What were they doing? Killing people. So, whatever the assignment is for which you've been called and chosen, like Amos said, there will be a famine for the hearing of the word of the Lord. I have never believed that that means that the Holy Spirit will cease to speak. But I have certainly chosen personally to believe, and have experienced it, my dear Brother Clay, that the days of personal prophecy and giving words to people here, there, and everywhere has not ceased. But beware of it. Many have been in great havoc and disillusionment with words that don't come to pass. As on my part, I have fallen short, as of times, so I've been told, but I will bear that cross. What? You mean you prophesied things that haven't happened? Well, they haven't happened yet. My only recourse is, well, there are prophets in the Bible that have prophesied things that haven't happened yet. But anyway, but that's not where I'm at this morning, beloved. And this is not that I cannot give the word of the Lord for you, for I can certainly read you very quickly if I need to. It's a gift that I have. It's just that it doesn't come like it used to. It doesn't come. It doesn't come. Say, what do you mean it doesn't come? Well, how in the world do you believe that I can speak the word of the Lord? I'm supposed to receive it. I'm supposed to receive it and give it. Well, if I don't receive it, I can't give it. But the Holy Spirit within each and every one of us will speak to you 24/7. He will speak to you in the prison cell. It's like the gift of God. Oh, it'll work in the church with the organ playing and among people that believe in you. Does it work in Walmart? Yes. It's got to work in Walmart. Of all places. The Holy Spirit, I have asked the Holy Spirit to impart to each and every one of you in this house an understanding of his will. For I believe it is time to work. And this work is going to be very engaging. I believe it is to be a warfare. I don't doubt for a moment that this emphasis, and be careful, And I'm cautious also with regarding making such statements, because we have nutcases in every generation, and we have them today too. There is quite an emphasis on taking up arms, having a pistol, having a gun, you know, preparing to defend yourself. Listen, such instruments are deadly. It is certainly a solution. It's final. Embark upon this warfare by first looking within to see if you are qualified, like in the natural sense, qualified to have a weapon, if you know what I mean. You cannot get one if you're a felon officially, but you know what I'm saying. I ain't talking about you getting a gun. I'm talking about you being equipped for the spiritual warfare, for it begins with spiritual warfare. Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. That means that you have power to cast out devils. Can you? Have you ever tried it? Be careful. Be careful. Why, they're going to get you or hit you or pull you down or something? Well, sometimes I might do, you know. No, all hell will break out if you start messing with that kind of thing. Say, what do you mean all hell will break out? Well, that's where it comes from, hell. So that's what the law of his is. What the hell? It's hell. That's where it is, hell. All hell will break out. It'll break out in your family, in your work, in your house, and wherever it is. You're best minded not to mess with it at all. I told you about this earlier. Navigate away from it. Navigate away. Don't go there. Don't meet them. Don't have out to do. And this morning, as we're in this house, would there be a word given of prophecy that will go out on the internet so that other people can hear it and form an opinion? Well, did you hear what Obama is saying? Is it true that ISIS, when they moved into Mosul, told all the community to bring out their unmarried daughters that they may serve as the soldiers in a jihad? Is it true? It isn't true, is it? I don't know. Well, what's Fox saying? What's Rush Limbaugh saying? Well, I don't know. But I heard Cindy Jacobs prophesy this morning, evidently. Cindy who? Well, I heard that Roger Teal said, Roger who? Now again, this doesn't endorse me at all. I'm doing this for my own sake. There is a tremendous responsibility of speaking into people's lives, telling people yea or nay or whatever in the name of the Lord. When I stand up and say, thus says the Lord, it better be the Lord. Am I stupid? What right have I to say the Lord says if the Lord didn't say it? Beware of the sin of presumption. But every one of you have that word within you. A word for your loved one, a word for your neighbor, a word for your son, your daughter, your child, your uncle, your lair, you're in your place of work. It is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Do you know his voice? You've heard my voice. I have so many illustrations, and I don't wish to labor you with them. When I was at that conference down there, I wondered whether I might have to take you down there, brother. Next, moving on. And this lady said about this particular prophet, did I know him? I said, well, I don't know. No, I don't know him. Oh, I thought you'd have known him. He's from England. No, I don't know him. Actually, his name is Graham Cook. Maybe some of you have heard of him. I don't know him. Cross my heart, I don't know him. Is he okay? I don't know. I don't know him. We're going to a Mexican restaurant for lunch. Is there any good? I don't know. We haven't been yet. I don't eat Mexican much anyway. But anyway, I'll have a bag of grass. Graham Cook, I don't know him. Bear with me now, loves. I'm not trying to be severe or sincere. This is an opportunity. I am respected by Apostle Clay Nash, who I believe has the apostolic anointing. We have a lot of false apostles around today, and I know who they are. Okay? I am a prophet. If I don't know who they are, it's a bad job. It comes with my package. I know who they are. Why do you? Because I do. You have a problem with your air conditioning? Who do you call? Somebody works on the car? Okay. So, no, I don't know him. Well, he's written some wonderful books. I mentioned this in one meeting, and they were saying, yes, I've read his books. They're really wonderful. I said, well, okay, I don't know. But this isn't the point that I'm making. The point I'm making is that this person kept asking me, and I thought, you know, I'd have thought you'd known him, like as if I, you know, why don't you know him? He's famous or whatever. Maybe he is. I believe he is. I believe, you know, whatever. I don't know. Anyway, the point is, I said, I don't know the voice. So you say, what do you mean by that? You don't know his voice? You never heard him speak or something? No, that's not what I'm saying. I don't know the voice that he's telling him what he says and what he doesn't say. You say, well, that's obvious because you've never heard him speak. True. And you've never read any of his books? True. So how will you know his voice? How will you know what he's saying? How will you know whether it's from God or it isn't? Well, I don't. Graham Cook might be a great guy. Do you know him? Oh, he knows him. I'll have to... That isn't the point. The point I'm making is, I don't know the voice. So what did I do? What was I saying when I said that? I was listening inside. I didn't know it. And the Bible's taught us this morning, don't believe the voice. You're hearing my voice naturally. But this morning, I have to just depend upon the Holy Spirit to impart to you that which is, God forbid, of Rudge, and that which is of him. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Father, these words have come with much emphasis on my part. It seems like, what would this be for us to hear these words? Can I step back from that which I have seen for this country? Can I step back from that which is the vision of that which has been spoken by those that you sent into Israel? Jonah is not here. Isaiah is not. John is not. Words of names that we can relate to are not. And yet it is declared that the Lion of the tribe of Judah will deliver the apple of his eye. And surely if we would rehearse the words, how that the spirit of iniquity is already at work in the Middle East, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Iran, the Soviet Union, Europe. The spirit of Antichrist that was in the world then is now rearing its head to dominate the earth. The eyes of Daniel foresaw these days. And you told him he will sleep in the earth. We're seeing prophecy fulfilled on the everyday news. And the church is triumphant as it now engages and embarks upon the challenges of this hour. For the clouds are on the horizon of the conflict of flesh and blood, of nation, of ethnic, of black and white and yellow and brown. And though laws are implemented of the common cause of expression and appreciation and love for one another, regardless of sexual gender, belief, religion, type, whatever. Your spirit that is within us, we have the seed. We have the seed of God within us. We have your life this morning, O Lord, that is pure, that is clean. It may be small in some here this morning, like a grain of mustard seed. But Lord, it can flourish and become a great tree. I shall speak again aforetime as I have spoken. For the word of the Lord cometh, that the ears of those that have ears will hear, but also those that have ears will not. For surely, saith the Lord, there is that which can cause a stench, and it is avoided, for one would pass by and not behold with their eyes that which would cause them to say, nay, I am not like them. For what are your garments? Are you clothed with your righteousness? For have you taken it upon yourself to consider that in your acts, your piety, your conforming to, your standards, your structures, that you are before me as one that is spotless, as a lamb without blemish? You are fooled. You are fooled. It is my blood that cleanses your soul. It is my blood that has marked you for my eternal presence. Has not the prophet spoken that if a people will humble themselves and pray, that their land would be restored? Where are these people? Who are them that would speak in mine ear, that I may stop my judgments? Should I bring back the horses of war when those have spilt their blood in the martyrs of old and have died for the faith? To please you with a way of escape? You will not escape. There is a door that you must go through, that only I can open and only I can shut. The revelation speaks of it. Through that door you must go. For that which cometh upon the earth has caused me to move from my seat, to bring to account every nation of every continent, on this earth that I fashioned with my own hands, says the Lord. And I have redeemed from the kindreds of the earth, from every color and creed and nation, those that have heard my message of good news. You must take this news and go with it. But the Lord says this day, are you equipped? There are gifts that I give to you, each and every one, and they are the gifts of power. For the demands that thou art making in your own life must only be met by your life, for no other can meet these demands. There is an authority that I have given to those that will use the weapons that I will equip them with. Therefore, saith the Lord, it is not that thine own life must be in a place or in a corner, for you will be on the forefront. For the battle is not won at the back, it's won at the front. So you are to be thrust into the heat of the battle. You are to be placed at the front, whereby your sword will be wet with blood, where your finger will point and make judgments according to my law and my word. For my word shall not return void. I must first make amends for your sin. For in conforming, says the Lord, to the principles of repentance, you have followed a channel, like many do, to receive a forgiveness that will only temper the mind, but not the heart. For there is no man on this planet that can take the confession of the soul, for all have sinned and have come short of my glory. But those that I have chosen, says the Lord, those of whom the scripture speaks, even this day, says the Lord, upon them I will impart my glory, the glory that was with the Father will come upon those that are in my church. And they shall be mine, says the Lord, in the day when I make up my jewels. Amen. Plane cannot fly for that which is within it as a weight that shall cause it to drop. And the eyes of many, the young and old, shall see in great fear. But shall not the waters even come in from the north? And shall they not flood the city again? You are looking for a sign, saith the Lord, but my signs are pointed in the British Isles. For yea, saith the Lord, there is an uprising that shall be in those islands, whereby, saith the Lord, they endeavour to establish a state. Therefore saith the Lord, my children, as you are here this morning and hearing these words, I bring you to account, not that thou art found wanting, but that thou mayest have opportunity to come into the place whereby the revelation of my Spirit will come to you personally, wherever you are and wherever you go. That you do not need to go to the east or to the west or to the north or the south, but that you will know my voice clearly and distinctly within you, that will give you guidance in all that you do, in your commerce, in your coming and going, your family, your children. For mine eye never slumbers or sleeps, and I see all the evil, saith the Lord. Therefore I will protect thee at all times, and you have no need of death, the fear of death, for saith the Lord, I will protect you with my armor, which is surely more formidable than that which is the weapon. Therefore saith the Lord, let it be said, and let it be ceased, for there is no more that needs to be said. Do we know that chorus, I need thee, oh, I need thee? I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Let's stand. Do you know the little chorus? Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Those of you that are in ministry, would you just come and stand here a minute? Maybe I can say something, I'm not sure, but maybe. I said maybe, and that's final. Yeah. You stand there, brother, you're all right. Okay. Oh, look at all this lot. Okay. How many come to the... who are visitors? Who are your visitors? Oh, you're visitors? You stand there then, visitors. And all the rest of you, are you visitors? Come and stand here then, visitors. And all the rest of you, are you a visitor? Oh, okay. You a visitor?
I'm with her.
But you're all visitors. And you belong to this church. Okay, we're going to stand over here by these. Please, excuse me being personal. Oh, no good. Okay, stand there. What are you? Are you here in this? Are you in this one of these?
Yes.
They won't fall down. Why would they fall down? Let me give you an explanation of something here. Why would the Holy Spirit in me overpower the Holy Spirit in you? There is a sore evil under the sun that people who can knock people down or cause people to fall down have got the power to cause people to fall down. Well, okay. And also, why is it that we have to suddenly rush to cover a young lady's legs or something like that? Is the Holy Spirit, is he not a gentleman or something? I mean, is this going to be indiscreet here? What's the problem? Let me tell you something. The gift of God is very powerful. And I've observed that very often, especially when I minister to certain people, They go down with a crash, some of them. But it's because there are things in their lives that are not of God. And those spirits are subject to the Spirit of God. And so they fall down. It works. Oh, yeah. You didn't hear that before, did you? I'll be 73 this year. I'm still good. I've been looking for identification. I answer to nobody. I've been many places all over the world and given the word of the Lord to many of those that you know of renown as such. God bless them. May the Lord look sideways. But I do believe that there is that which is to be, that is a link as a result of the mantle that's on my life that came upon him. I respect how he respects me for this, which is, and I just, but it doesn't alter the fact that if we are going according to Scripture, it is purely an endorsement of the gift of God in one's life and the life of another. And so in this identification, and not identifying with anybody, I have to question in my own life my identification with those to whom I am sent. The man of God has given me complete free course, and his wife very sweetly spoke to me about how they love Roger and love Emily. And by the way, for those of you that know that don't, your church supports Roger and Emily every month, and we are very grateful. So what am I here to say? I don't know. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about it when we're going up to Dyersburg tonight, my friend. But you that belong to this church, may you throw in your lot, hook, line, and sinker, behind this man and his ministry. You're here, and I don't know to what capacity you serve here, but whatever capacity it is, do it well. Seek no advantage over any other, but learn as the Saviour taught us, he that is the greatest, let him be your servant.